Hey guys, welcome to the PowerPoint presentation for Chapter 2. My name is Eddie Lester, the founder and CEO of Fitness Mentors, and we're here today to get you rolling through our online course for Chapter 2. So Chapter 2 is going to go over the career opportunities, basically, as a personal trainer. That's really what it's going to focus on. So let's go ahead and go over to Slide 2 on our PowerPoints. So the different types of facilities, actually before I get started, chapter 1 and chapter 2 are kind of just more intro chapters. There's not a ton of density that comes to them. So this is going to be a short lecture as well as, but we are going to point out the most important things from it that you need to know for the exam as well as for the field. So let's go ahead and start again with slide number 2. So we're going to be going over facility types, and NASM just wants you to have a general understanding of where you can work as a personal trainer. So some of those facility types are going to be larger commercial gyms like the Equinox, like 24-Hour Fitness, like LA Fitness, maybe Lifetime Fitness, or any of the maybe Bay Club is an emerging one. There's larger corporate gyms that you have in your city that typically employ lots of people and lots of trainers. And to tell the truth, I really do enjoy or would recommend starting at one of those larger facilities because they really do have a good emphasis on getting you started as a personal trainer and kind of building you to understand what it takes to be a good personal trainer, including sales and communication and approaching clients. So definitely a great place to start. Next on the bullet point on that slide number 2 is mediums, which medium or small commercial, corporate, or private gyms, meaning commercial, you can be like an Anytime Fitness or like a 3,000 square foot gym, something smaller, less client or less members, but they do have personal training there as well, or even just a personal training gym in which they don't even offer memberships, they just offer personal training, or even a corporate, we'll say, gym that might have a need to keep their employees healthy, so they hire personal trainers that work out of a small corporate gym, similar to what we discussed last chapter. And then also either or maybe a private gym. So as a personal trainer, you may own your own private gym, anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 square feet, smaller, maybe focuses on personal training or group training and not as much on memberships. So there's a lot of options there with the sort of, we'll say, larger to medium small gyms. Then you also have emerging markets like the group setting training, which is things like even SoulCycle or CrossFit or Orange Theory. Those are really going to be like a group emphasis in the sense that you go in and you're working out with a group of people on the same workout towards the same goal. So it's not going to be as much private personal training, which you're taking one client to their goal, but more a collective group of people towards maybe a weight loss goal, that sort of thing. Or maybe CrossFit towards a performance or a muscle gain goal. Weight loss as well with CrossFit too. Then we have a clinical setting, so something like a physical therapist's office, a chiropractor's office, or a doctor's office. There's other clinical settings too, but those are like the main types that you will see. Maybe like a massage therapy might have stuff like or a personal trainer need. And then also the final one is going to be something like sports performance facilities. And sports performance facilities are really fun, especially if you love training athletes. Something like getting into a college, you know, sports performance coach, or you know, getting your getting your PES or CSCS to train professional athletes or college athletes. Working in those facilities is really fun. Get to work with younger, in shape people to get them better at what they do, and a lot of people are very successful at that. Even privately in group settings, you can do that as well. So, those are the different types of facilities that you might be seeing when you are looking for a job. And NASM is one of their most important things is for you to get employed as a personal trainer. So, they definitely want to fill you in on that. And I do as well, because I want you guys employed too. All right, so next we're going to move over to continuing education. So NASM is going to require you to maintain your certification throughout your career. What that means is that you are going to be required to earn hours of education that count towards a recertification. They want to make sure that you are continuing to build upon your skill sets and learn new things as a personal trainer, so you don't just kind of stay in the same spot and you know, kind of get in routine, we'll say, with training clients. They want you to learn new tools in fitness, maybe new ways to get clients, maybe even branch out to other things like sports performance or corrective exercise or even more nutrition certs. There's lots of different types of extra education that NASM offers as well as we offer that can help you build your career and become a better personal trainer. So some of the bullet points here, the NASM CPT requires 2.0 CEUs every 2 years. So 2 CEUs over every 2 years. That typically is a test question, guys, so we always include it in all of our lectures, and it's a kind of a simple one, so hopefully you can memorize that. And also, maintaining your current CPR certification counts for 0.1 CEUs. So NASM will never have you get more than 1.9 CEUs outside of or inside of that 2.0. So the NASM, all NASM courses are worth 1.9 CEUs. Our business and sales course is worth 1.9 CEUs. And then what you have to make sure you always have is your CPR certification up to date. And then you just submit that. That's a 0.1 CEU or one contact hour. And actually, just right below that on our third bullet point on slide three, you are looking at 2.0 CEUs means 20 contact hours. So 2.0 is basically 0.1 CEUs per hour. And that's how they rate that to make sure that you're getting that time learning new things. Then the types of CEU courses, there's lots of different types. And we actually have a blog on this. If you want to go to our blog right in the top left corner of our site, you'll see the little blog icon. And we go over our five most recommended CEU courses. But to go over this really quick, we have our traditional or advanced education in the sense of doing like a college course or doing a something that's more education-based for, furthering your education in the sense of degrees or going to college, getting your master's, things like that. Those can apply. Online courses, which is becoming the most popular because you can do it in-home. And just an example of that is our business and sales CEU course. It's worth that 1.9 CEUs. And it really helps you build your clientele, understand how to get clients, how to maintain clients, and how to turn your friends and family and colleagues into clients as well. And that's one of the biggest things we want to help you do. And that's why we are fitness mentors, is we want to make sure that you are successful as a personal trainer. And, becoming an NASM CPT is one step, but then getting clients and building a business is an entirely different thing that a lot of people, like I mentioned in chapter one, are not that prepared for. Also, more types of CEUs include live events, going to a seminar or a workshop that might be, over the weekend for 20 hours or so. Maybe 3 days, sometimes spread out, or even something like conferences. If you look at our blog, we do talk about the IDEA Fitness Convention. Those sort of conferences are really fun. A lot of fun people go to them in the sense that you get up to socialize with a lot of other trainers in the field and learn a ton about different subjects, and you actually get to pick your subjects too. So I definitely highly recommend checking out the IDEA Fitness Convention if you are able to travel to it or it is in your town. And then the last form of CEUs is publications. You might get 0.1, 0.2 CEUs if you're scrolling through magazines, which not too many people read in-person paper magazines anymore, but some of the fitness magazines like NASM or NSCA or journals, things like that from ACSM, they do have small quizzes that you can take and then submit as 0.1, 0.2 CEUs. But finding those is a little bit difficult. So, NASM also recommends within your continuing education and just in general for being a personal trainer is to find a mentor. And that's really what I built Fitness Mentors around, is to help people like you become a successful personal trainer. Starting with your certification, we want to coach you through that. And then also into the field, how can you be successful? How can you make money? We are all here to be successful, make money doing something that we love, helping people. And finding a mentor is a great way to learn how to build that, dream of yours. Make money doing something you love and have the flexibility with hours and clients and things like that. So definitely sign up for our newsletter. Check out our blogs. We're here to help. Give us a call. Our number's right at the top of our website always. And we look forward to hearing from you. So last sort of topic that we're going to go over for this PowerPoint lecture and mainly in this chapter that's important to know, and we did go over it last chapter, but NASM definitely likes to hit on this a lot, so they put it in chapter one and chapter two. So the first one, what we're going to be doing is called the scope of practice. This is slide four, the do's and don'ts of the scope of practice. So what can you do? You definitely want to perform assessments, program design, create programs for clients for things like weight loss, then do something like or set goals for your clients, and then also perform like lifestyle modifications in the sense of assisting people with behavioral changes, teaching them how to cook their own food, things that you might not think of as a personal trainer, like I mentioned or in the last chapter, but behavioral modifications. Going to the grocery store, what to get at the grocery store, creating a routine, things like that. And then the don'ts of the scope of practice, you cannot diagnose or treat any pain or disease. That's going to be doctors mainly. Prescribed medicine, obviously you can't say, yeah, hey, go, even to the point of saying, hey, this supplement is really good. That's a little in the gray area, but NASM says you shouldn't really be telling people to get one specific item because it's going to help them. It's kind of like prescribing, supplements or something. You basically just say, don't prescribe, and just say, hey, this supplement worked for me. You should try it, something like that. It's like a recommendation, but not necessarily a prescription to use it. And then the also providing specific meal plans. You cannot do that. We talked about that a lot. And then go ahead and read the code of conduct, code of professional conduct. Like I said, to Google that to make sure you just read through it. There's one, sometimes two questions from there, but mainly, just from the blanked out on that, but we'll get back to that. I went over it in the last chapter. So anyways, okay, on to the last slide, slide 5, scope of practice suggestions. So some things that, might hit on that gray area that we could talk about. So nutritional recommendations, this is according to NASM, should include the basics, okay? Teach them about calories, teach them about the benefits of carbohydrates for exercise and maybe performance. Teach them about how protein might build muscle and is the building blocks for your body, and then how fat is going to help with the hormonal process and also provide energy. And then also those like macronutrient benefits. Then you have your vitamin and mineral processes. What is vitamin C good for? Does vitamin B12 come from, or where does it come from? Because a lot of vegetarians and vegans might have a deficiency in vitamin B12 because they don't eat meat. That's where most of the B12 in nature comes from. So things like that, that's what you should be sharing with your clients. Giving meal plans is a very gray area, in the sense that, telling someone you want them to go on a lower carbohydrate diet, there's nothing against you telling someone to, or recommending that to someone, but make sure you've done it yourself and don't give them a 100% here's an hour by hour what you need to eat and what it should consist of. That's kind of what they're saying don't do. Suggesting someone a book, that's the way I typically do it. I say, hey, go check out this book by, one of my favorites is Wired to Eat by Rob Wolf. Hey, check out this book, and I want you to kind of follow what he says. That puts all of the liability on the book. And he's got that all protected with all his releases of liability by reading it and trying it and different things like that. So that kind of allows you to come off clean if something were to happen from someone going on some specific type of diet. You could say, oh, I recommended this book, and they tried it. writing down a meal plan, giving that is not quite recommended and shouldn't be done according to NASM's scope of practice. And then also, refer the client to a professional when necessary. They always ask that on the test. They come up with special ways to say that. But if something is not in your scope of practice as a personal trainer, it doesn't have anything to do with exercise or it has something to do with them being injured or having some disorder or something, don't try to talk them through anything. Just kind of refer them to a medical professional. That's what NASM suggests. Obviously, you have to be social and cordial and listen to what they have to say, but listening is a great tool. Allow them to listen, and then if they ever ask for advice, you kind of point them towards someone that might know more, just to protect yourself. Also follow NASM's Code of Professional Conduct. You can Google that, since they didn't include it in this version of the textbook. All right, that's going to be about it. Not too much, once again, in Chapter 2, so we just kind of hit that nice and quick. Go ahead and listen to our audio book lecture for Chapter 2 below, and also complete the assignments. Once again, complete the assignments before listening to the assignment audio, or the assignment explanation audio. and then take the quiz, and you should be good to go for chapter two, and I will see you down below at the book lecture. I know you love my voice, so you'll be getting used to it over the next few weeks as we go through this entire course. But all right, guys, enjoy your afternoon, evening, morning, whatever, wherever you may be listening, and I hope you have a great day. See you soon.